Hey, happy Hurricane Day, everybody. This is We Watch Stuff number 154, I believe. Yeah, I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on in your part of the world, man?
Just rain and clouds and clouds with a chance of rain, but no hurricanes.
Yeah, well, we got downgraded. It's now a Category 4. No, I'm sorry, Category 1. So it's gone from a 5 down to a 1. So that's still, I don't know what that means. Okay.
It's a whole bunch of rain.
Yeah.
But hopefully no one dies.
Yeah, and they keep telling us we're going to lose power. And I'm like, well, if we know we're going to lose power, why? Like, how about we get some people out here real quick and prevent that from happening? But, you know, when you have basically a monopoly around here for power, that's not going to happen. So it doesn't matter. For those of you who don't know, I live in Charlotte. We are inland. But we're still apparently going to get a ton of rain. And depending on who you listen to, and this is always a pet peeve of mine with the news, everything's the worst thing ever. And we were watching, I think, the NBC affiliate, if I remember right. And they had mostly younger broadcasters. And they're talking about catastrophic winds, horrific flooding, once in a lifetime. Oh, boy. Maybe I should shut up. Well, all of a sudden, all the trees are bending sideways. I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, heard you talking all that trash.
And they're like, once in a lifetime storm, this and this. And then they go to the actual weather guy on duty, and he basically goes, "Yep, hurricane will make landfall out on the East Coast in within a day, and we should see pretty much rain from Friday night through Monday afternoon, Monday night. We may get some flooding. Unfortunately, some of us may lose power." And that's about it. So back to you guys. He undercut everything they were doing. Because this guy was like, he had to be in his 60s. So he was here for Hugo. He's been here for every other storm. He's seen other hurricanes everywhere else. This dude was hilarious. He wasn't playing their games at all. Just, no, we're getting some weather, guys. Back to you. And then, I don't know, it was the same station. And I know it was like, was that Jim Cantor, the weather guy?
Uh-huh.
So he's obviously out there already. Well, the local news now has to send their person out there. Now, Wilmington Beach is not local. That is 6 hours? 5 or 6 hours, depending on traffic. So you've got your cozy studio group. They're sitting there. They're talking about the storms, the winds. It's made landfall, blah, 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 blah. And then they do the picture-in-picture with the two of them looking cozy in the studio. And you've got this poor man. I don't remember them saying his name. He's in a red rain slicker. He's got khaki pants on. And he can hear him talking. Wind is just blowing this guy sideways. He's getting nailed in the face with rain. And they go, well, yeah, Bob, actually, he's not out there all the time. He does walk into safety. We'll be checking in with him a little bit later. They didn't even go to the guy. He's sitting there making all these faces, you know, like the usual, like, delay faces, like, uh-huh, uh-huh. But he's smiling, trying to smile and just getting hit in the face with rain just so they can tell you he's out there and that they're going to come back to him later. I had a huge laugh at that. I'm like, when you go to, like, meteorological school, I guess that's what you go to? Is there a specific school for weather people?
I don't know, and I don't want to pretend that I do know. Yeah. I would guess, I would hope so, but who knows? It's one of those things you never think about until you ask a question like that.
Yeah. And I guess just pay attention to science class, you know, computers do the rest, basically. But yeah, but they basically turned this guy into a stuntman for no reason. And I was like, well, earn your $30,000 a year, dude. Yeah. So,
well, as of now, they say almost 500,000 people in North Carolina have no power. Jesus. So,
yeah, that's the only part I don't want to deal with.
Oh, you live in Carolina now. I've lived in Carolina, so I've been through hurricane weather. It's funny where the biggest issue I had living in Carolina wasn't from hurricanes. It was a year we had a blizzard. And we didn't have power for like a week and a half.
Oh.
Yeah. Like I was taking showers at work.
See, we got gas yeah. luckily. So
yeah, because I worked at the mall, and the mall had power, but most of the neighborhoods had no power. I think it was like maybe 3 inches of snow and ice, but North Carolina, that might as well be like 30 feet because they're not used to snow. And it was right 2002 because I graduated that winter time, and I remember studying. I had like a coal lamp, like Ben Franklin studying the damn dark. Like, my mom had an old one. I used to laugh at all the time. Like, why do you have this old thing? Like, you never know, you might need one. Sure enough, I'm there, had soot all of my clothes, trying to study calculus. And yeah, so it's funny when you can laugh at weather until you're stuck in weather. And it's like, oh, you don't have power. I hope, you know, eating ice cream, because that's the only thing that's good, because, you know, your refrigerator goes out, your freezer goes out, the frozen things. Can't eat frozen bacon. Can't drink warm ass milk, so eating ice cream and getting takeout from the few people that might drive to you.
Yeah, the one thing that's real annoying is my grill decided to shit the bed. The regulator? Mm-hmm. So I got to go to Lowe's later to try and see if I can find one, because, you know, the power goes out, at least I can cook something on the grill. Problem is, everyone's going to be at Lowe's trying to buy a generator, or I guess we're all out of sandbags around here. I didn't know you sold sandbags. I thought you honestly just got a sack and you filled it with stuff. But this is how unprepared I am. Like, if it's end of the world, I'm going to be the muscle. You just tell me what to do. Don't ask me to think until I get used to it. And, like, all these things you never take into consideration. Like, we were talking about the house stuff before we started. Like, just never occurs to you.
Yeah, like, since we've gotten our house, let me see, fence repairs, landscaping, smoke alarm stuff, like, just, you know, you want to add an outlet to a bathroom, oh, how much could it be? $500. Yeah, replace fence gets knocked down because of a wind. People say, oh, how bad can a hurricane be? We came home from vacation, and part of our fence got knocked down. Damn. So, yeah, so we had to replace that. Oh, you know, let's get an upgrade. Let's get a vinyl fence. $12,000.
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, you saw that. Oh, rent and mortgage. If you can afford a $1,200 mortgage, you can afford $200. No, if you can afford $1,200 in rent, get a mortgage. I'm like, it is not the same. I hate those damn memes and GIFs and all that nonsense. Like, no, I tell people all the time, for anybody listening, whatever your rent is, if you can cover double the cost, at least like rent times 1.5 comfortably, get a house. Otherwise, do not get a house, because you be thinking shit's all good till your refrigerator goes out, or you gotta replace a water heater, or any little thing you don't even think about when you was in an apartment, because you just call your super.
Yeah, well, we have like a home warranty, so if something breaks, they'll come out and fix it. You know, pay $40 a month. We actually had to use it a couple times. We had an old house, so if you can afford that too, but yeah, that all works into it.
Yeah, we had a warranty for the first year, and we used it quite a few times. Then after that, it was like stuff that wasn't even, you know, fence stuff isn't covered by warranty. Like outside, it's like stuff is just little things add up. You want to do this, 300 here, 400 here, 1,000, like four. Imagine if you come home, somebody say, oh, you need to get XYZ fixed. It costs $9,000. Who has $9,000 just laying around to just fix stuff?
That's a very good question. I mean, people obviously with better means than us, I guess. But like we refinanced our house so we can actually save money now, and it's pretty nice. But if like our air conditioner breaks, one, why is that technology so expensive still? It's not getting any different. Oh, it's more energy efficient. Well, doesn't that mean less parts? That's what that sounds like to me. So it should be less money. Nope.
Nope, normally goes in reverse. More energy efficient, more smaller, more parts, more money, more to, you know, cost more to fix. Like, we're fortunate where there's nothing that could go wrong in our house besides maybe our house just our house blowing up that we couldn't fix. Mm-hmm. But average person just don't have money just to get a new fence like that.
No.
You know, unless they put on like a credit card, or they're taking out a loan or something. It's like, you know, you don't hope anything happens, like, you know, something happens to your house or something happens to your car at the same time. I'm happy with my car that my maintenance is paid for the first 3 years, because I can only imagine how much it would cost if I had to replace something in that damn car I have. Like, I love my car, but I was driving one day and my car had to reboot. Like a damn laptop.
Wow.
Like the engine worked and everything else just shut off. Like the whole navigation, because it's basically like, you know, it's like a computer in there, like a smartphone. And I'm driving and it say, oh, I see the Audi 4 rings. Please wait. System restarting. I'm driving. I can't, like, the only thing I can see, like, I can look out the window. I can look out my mirror and see what's going on. And that's it. I don't even think my speed measurements was working.
Oh, wow.
So I had to guesstimate how, like, let me sure I'm not speeding anything like that. Because I have somebody pull me over. How fast are we going? Shit, I don't know. Like, the knob's not working right now. Ask me in a minute. So, yeah, just stuff like, and I think people are leaning more toward that, you know, all these smart homes. Smart homes are great until they stuff doesn't go wrong. Like, you remember that episode, Mr. Robot?
Yes.
When they hacked that lady's house to basically kick her out so they could take over the house. I know people think that's far-fetched. All it takes is somebody that doesn't like you or somebody that's just bored. That has the opportunity to mess with you, and they worry about that now with the cars out here. I could just imagine you in that house minding your business, and somebody just turn your air to 80 and turn your lights off.
Well, I told you before, like, I have an Xbox One, like one of the original ones, and it came with the Kinect sensor, so you can talk to it and all that. And that worked out so swimmingly well. Well, I didn't really use it anymore, and I had it connected. I still had it connected, and I'm playing a game. And I kept getting an echo. I'm like, what is that? So then I kept going. I'm like, that sounds like the TV. And then one of the dogs came in, and I heard a jingle coming through the speakers. I went, wait a second. So I clapped my hands, and sure enough, a clap came through the TV. The Kinect turned the mic on it by itself. And it could have just been an accident. It could have been you know how things work. Microsoft could be dicking around with stuff. So I immediately just got up and yanked that shit out of the Xbox. I didn't ask you to do this. So.
Yeah, I have the same thing. So I have one of those Apple Play speakers. And the commercial for the Apple Play speaker came on the TV. And all of a sudden, my speaker picked up the commercial and started playing the song that the commercial was playing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, this is this is not comfortable. Like, you know, you'll be having a conversation or you're watching a movie and they'll say such and such. And then Siri will be like, oh, okay, I'll start playing Do It in the, you know, Doing the Butt by EU. At like 11:45 at night. I'm like, huh? Like, who are you listening to? And it's funny because I have the Amazon one and
Alexa.
Alexa, and that's more, you know, that's smarter than a Siri. Like, Siri wouldn't just pick up anything with bass in his voice. And speaking of which, before we delve into topics about voices, it's funny, you don't really pay attention to how your voice sounds to other people. Like, for me, and this is like the fifth time this year this happened at work, I'm talking to a nurse at work. Like, she calls, say, like, such and such, and then her call starts, like, you know, I don't mean to be rude or cross anything, but something about how your voice sounds over the phone, and then the call disconnects, and I'm like, okay, and my texter there is laughing, and she calls back, asks for an order, say, oh, I apologize, I didn't mean to cross any boundaries and anything like that, it was just, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm like, that's fine, and they just let, I'm like, do I sound like Michael Clark Duncan from Daredevil when I'm on the phone? It's like, it's just, it's happened like five times this year. I've had two nurses come down to the floor and ask them, we just want to see what such and such look like because his voice just sounds a certain way. And I'm like, lady, this is sexual harassment. Like, leave me alone because my wife is insane and she will stab you and then stab me and make sure I live to stab. And so, no.
What a horrible thing to have happen. Unlike everyone just telling, man, you sound high all the time. Cool. I'm not. but thanks.
I don't want those problems. Like, dicks. I never paid any mind until I started people saying it. Like, I had somebody leave a voice message. I'm like, you left. I'm looking at you in a different way. I'm like, why? You really? Know what I look like? Yes. And I'm like, you know, maybe she was drunk. I don't know. And like, do I sound like a supervillain? Do I sound like Barry White when the phone has some static on it? Like, cause how I hear my voice isn't how. Cause even when I listen back to the show sometimes, I don't even recognize my voice. I'm like, I sound like that. Mm-hmm. I sound weird. Like the voice I hear doesn't sound like how I hear it when I speak.
Oh, I'm with you. Yes. I hear mine. I immediately shut it off. Go, yep, it recorded, and go on to something else. I don't want to hear this. I don't know why I have people listen to it half the time, which is not a terrible thing to say, I guess. But I'm like,
It's funny. I've looked at some of those SoundCloud things, and I've seen some shows that shows like 7 people listen to it, and I've seen some shows that like 70 people listen to it, and there's no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I know Jeff on Twitter listens because he talks about it. And I know I've had some people at work say some stuff here and there. I have no idea who listens. We don't get a whole lot of feedback. We just know people are listening. But it's just funny. Like, you know, we just do it for fun because we enjoy doing it. I'm not trying to get famous or no nonsense like that. But it's just amazing, like, you know, who's listening to us talk about DC shit. Bad for an hour and a half.
Well, apparently actors. Or I guess. I don't know. it was the guy from Daredevil, right? No. No, it was Richard Dragon that was on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Gave up a long time ago even looking at numbers just because it's impossible to tell because there's so many different platforms that this goes to that you can get it from. Yeah. That you don't get any feedback from. So it's like, that's fine. And really, my take on this always has been, if you don't get feedback, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because most of the time you get feedback, it's going to be like, you guys fucking suck. It's like,
yeah. Cool. Like, I always laughed at the whole thing. It's kind of like podcasts ask for feedback because that's the only way they know. Because most places, you only notice, you know, you see a lot of bad reviews. Like, if you don't like a product, you'll spend enough time to talk about how you don't like it. Mm-hmm. If you like a product, most of the time, you just keep it moving. You're like, you'll keep buying it. Yeah. You'll have to, like, really make an effort. Like, if I get an email from Amazon, like a small company, you know, for feedback, yeah, I'll take 30 seconds out of my time to put, you know, a review if it works. But most of the time, if it works, it just works, and I keep it moving. But it's kind of like, you know, I wonder how hard it is. How do you know it's working if nobody tells you? Because it's not like us. People keep buying. Like, we're not selling stuff, so we have no idea. But somebody's listening.
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, I'm guessing so. But anyways, you got some bad news while we were doing this. If you're a hockey fan like I am, and maybe this happened earlier, but Hank Zetterberg has to retire from the Red Wings.
Yeah, I kind of figured. I remember they were talking about that a couple weeks ago. Because at first they were thinking he probably won't play this year. What was it, a back issue?
Yeah, the degenerative back issue.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I watch hockey, like, you know, he played for a long time. And it's kind of like he was one of those last post-Eisenman Fedorov, like the era after that.
Yeah.
Like him and Pavel Datsyuk and a few others. And it was like, it's funny where, you know, if you like even a casual hockey fan, Detroit's one of those teams, like almost like the Spurs. Like, they've been good for so long, it's just weird when they're not good. Because as far as I've been watching hockey, Detroit was always good. Like, they might not have always like been great, but they've never. I can't remember a year when they were like bad, or maybe like 1 year. And I've been watching hockey since the late '80s. You know, like. And then really watching since like the 90s, because NHL 94 on Genesis. And I was like, you know, you can't go wrong picking Detroit on a video game. That's how you can tell if a team was good or not. So, yeah, you should talk about, like, you know more about him than I do.
It just sucks. I'm actually legit bummed about this one. Because now, well, all right, no, I'm not going to joke. Yeah, I'm legit bummed about this one. Oh, well. Yeah, it just... It's hockey players get hurt so often, and they play through it. And I know that's like the badge of honor. Like, Steve Yzerman played, and it's just, you know, for Red Wings, Steve Yzerman played with no cartilage in his knees during one of the Stanley Cup runs. So his bones and his leg were actually rubbing together. What sport, other than hockey, is that going to happen? and it's worn like a badge of courage or a badge of honor. And I'm thinking, I understand it's a team game, you know, that's what we're always told. But at what point do you have to sit back and go,
it's dumb.
This is cutting my career short.
I've said that all the time about this hockey. Oh, y'all talk about such and such being tough. We play with a punctured lung. Dummy? Why?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen, like, Sean Couturier play. Oh, I blew out my MCL. I played the whole series. Why?
Yeah,
For a series like that, y'all won a game. Like, I know hockey played like, I don't know if it's an inferiority complex. It's like, I want to prove I'm a man. Oh, I got my face broken. I just throw a mask on it. You know, I spit out four teeth. I just grow my beard out some more. It's like, you know, you're going to have a life after that. And one, and at the end of the day, I always tell people, it's still football. Like, football and combat sports are still the toughest ones, because any sport where it's like, we can't really play preseason that much because we don't want to hurt ourselves. Yeah, like, you can practice around and play hockey. People don't play tackle football for fun.
Yeah.
Just because they're doing it. And I'm like, you know, average football career or 3 or 4 years, people blowing their brains out after they retire in like their 30s and 40s. Like, I respect the hell out of hockey players being tough, but who are you being tough for?
Yeah, well, they're fighting with hockey players now. They're finding the same CTE in them. And it's weird because you don't hear about the suicides and the depression and all that with hockey players like you do with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, what's, like, and very seriously, like, what's the difference?
I think a lot of it is they didn't, probably like players that have a lot of alcohol, substance abuse issues.
Oh, that's
and
hockey.
And yeah, like, you hear that a lot with hockey players, and they just think, oh, well, you know, just living that life is like, yeah, if my brain was to betray me, I'd probably knock him back a 12-pack every hour too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hockey, even though they kind of like taking fighting, well, not all the way out, but out, it's still a rough-ass sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's a definitely rough sport. And, yeah, it's funny when you have a player, like, you know, because I'm a Flyers fan. Mm-hmm. We've had players, like, their injuries, like, it just goes out when it's gone. Like, Lindros was a god until he kept getting concussions. And then it was like, one day he's a MVP candidate. And the next thing you know, he's beefing with the general manager and the owner, almost dies on the plane because they call him a pussy, have him fly with pneumonia, and then he's gone. And it takes like 10, 15 years for they, you know, patch stuff out. Finally get Peter Forsberg thing. His ankle's not built right, where it's like, you know, you got to take bones out your leg to put in your ankle, barely plays. Like, yeah. Stuff like that. Chris Pronger's fine, so he has a concussion and then doesn't play. You know, he's on contract for 5 more years and doesn't play. Like, stuff like that, where, you know, and you think about, like, why are you, you know why people do it? Because, like, you know, you want to help out your team, and, you know, I always say, the one thing people don't talk about here, like, most people are heroic because they don't want their fellow man to call them cowards. And it's almost kind of like this whole self-defense thing, like, if I don't do it, I don't want people judging me the wrong way. If you walk around with broken ribs playing hockey, yeah, ain't nobody going to judge you the wrong way. They might judge you dumb if one of those ribs punch your damn lungs and you're in the ER. Like, who are you trying to be tough for? Some guy on the couch?
Yeah. I think in the old days, the hockey thing came from those old days, because these guys were farmers, they were whatever, you know, like, say, like, delivery guys for the most part, and not for the most part, but, you know, delivery guys, that, like, blue collar jobs. I mean, when they were done, they had to go work somewhere else. So this was like maintaining that glory, and then they didn't get paid that much back then, from what I remember. So these guys just, you know, it's tough because you were playing for the other guys on the team as well. And I guess there's a, you know, certain bravado about it. But then now, and also they were undereducated. I'm not going to say uneducated, but undereducated back then. And now you don't really get that. You got guys that are coming through systems. You got coming through college, you know, coming through the minors and that, so that they're not dependent on it. So to me, I'm like, you've already made a good amount, like, not a good amount of money, but you've made your money. You've got an idea what to do. And I know the NHL... in this country is the pinnacle, which I guess it's worldwide since everybody comes here. But still, it's you can be out of that league so quick. Like, one of my friends, Joey, he used to play professionally. And he's adapted just fine. But yeah, he was like, yeah, you're young, you're indestructible, so you're just going to keep going through everything. And now, I mean, he's got bad knees, bad elbows, bad wrists, I mean, all that stuff. He was a fighter, too. So, you know, a goon, which always cracks me up.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, rheumatoid arthritis is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like you think about, yeah, you be tough in your 20s, teens and 20s, and then you're 35 and you drop a pencil. And you're like, do I really want to pick up this goddamn pencil or tie my shoe? Or you sleep the wrong way? And, like, I'm dealing with shoulder stuff now where, you know, I went to the doctor. I had bicep tendonitis and shoulder, like a shoulder sprain. They gave me some steroids and stuff and physical therapy. It's kind of like, it's some days I can't even drive my car. It's like I can shoulder press like 135 pounds for reps, but ask me to do a certain thing with my shoulder, I'm like, nope. And I only, like, you know, I played high school sports and that was about it. Like, I wouldn't, because I was thinking, I won't be 40 years old, I can't climb a flight of steps.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about, like, pain stuff. You're not even thinking about the whole, oh, I don't remember where I lived. like that stuff. And it's funny where I've always laughed about, like, how football, you know, like, they worry about CTE now, as they should. But I'm like, I mean, playing with a broken elbow is not fun. That's not smart. Like, you know, because guess what? You're going to be old one day, and your elbow can remind you. Remember when you wanted to tough it out for the team? Hey, guess what? You can't wipe your ass anymore. Like how you feel about that? Like, you know, all those – and this – it's funny what injuries we choose. We pick and choose what we can deal with and can't deal with. And people say, oh, you know, you got to tough it out. And I'm like, that's what sick leave is for. That's why America, yeah. That's why you have sick days. It's like, I'm not roughing it out if I don't have to. Like, for what? I can get paid to rest and, like, come back to work when I'm 100%. Yep. I'm going to rough it out for the team. I'm sneezing all over the place and just getting everybody sick to prove a point. Because I'm a team player. No, that's being a jackass.
Yeah. Yeah, I when it came to sick days at work, I was like, all right, I'm going to go in. I got work to do. And then, well, where I work, is the amount of layoffs you see, I just go, nah, I'm good. I'm going to take advantage of everything given. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm an island unto myself.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to – it's like I get why people do it, but it's like – sometimes being inherently selfish is actually good for the team, because you working at 65% is not really helping anybody. Mm. And it's just hurting yourself. And it's like, if you, especially if you have, I can see if you don't have sick days, you don't want to use vacation days. If you got a job that, like, I have sick leave that's separate. So yeah. If I'm sick and make an appointment, guess what? I see you when I see you.
I'm always surprised at jobs that don't have sick time. Now, I've been with the same company for 15 years, which, when they told me that, I was like, how long? Okay. I mean, hey, cool. I made it this long. But that always just surprised me. Like,
most jobs are like that.
Yeah,
like,
I noticed.
I know my job now is the first time I've had separate. And I've been a pharmacist for 8 years.
See, I've always had separate, at least.
No, it was kind of like I had leave, and it was like sick or vacation. It was just plain leave. It wasn't kind of like somewhere between the two. And that's fine until you get sick and you gotta, like, you know, use some stuff, and then you can't take a vacation to, like, a month or like 6 months, because some people, it's like, you know, you get 2 weeks every year for whatever, and it doesn't matter how much money you make. And, like, for me, our leave always builds up on both sick and vacation, and they're separate pots. So I have about 2.5 weeks of vacation time, and I got like a month and a half of sick time. So
damn,
yeah, nice. I know. And it came in handy, because when I had my surgery like a couple years ago, I was out for a month. I happened to have a month of sick time, so I was able to get paid. A lot of people is like, you got a week or 2 weeks, and it's like, GoFundMe, help me.
Yeah,
help Mike pay his rent and feed his dog. And it's like, It's tough sledding out there, and it goes toward what we were talking about earlier with the whole house stuff. Like, you know, how come millennials ain't buying houses because of avocados? I was like, no, bitch, we're broke. That's why people can't buy a house. Like, if home owning is expensive as hell. Like, you know, and all the stuff, and it's not the big stuff, it's the little stuff that just death by a thousand cuts. Every, you know, I think about the bills, all the extra bills we have, because we, you know, same thing. Like, our mortgage is a little bit more than our rent, but our bills are at least double, close to triple. Just because, you know, lawn care, security, water, electric, cable, just every little thing comes in. You got to do this. You got to do that. That whole being adult thing. Being adult is fine as long as you can afford it.
And that was one of the things that we were talking about this off air. If anyone was wondering why we're talking about this again. So you go get a lawnmower, $300. Go get a leaf blower. Get a good one, $100. If you get an edger, weed whacker, another $100. This is all gas. Do this. So just your lawn equipment is going to run you $1,000. You got to buy a shovel, rake, whatever else. All that stuff added up. And you think that stuff's going to last. Nope. So about 2 years later, you're going to have to buy another weed whacker. You're going to have to buy another leaf blower. So you're constantly adding this on. And yes, it's only an annual thing or biannual, whatever. Well,
but multiply that by everything.
Yeah. And then like your rent sometimes, like my rent had water included and it had something else. Well, when you get a house, wait, what's this water bill for? Mm-hmm. Wait, I got a gas bill? I got an electric. What?
Electric? Yeah. What? So, secure? Yes.
Yeah, so your rent payment that was more than your mortgage is now less than your mortgage with all those other bills that don't get added into it anymore. Yeah, it was such a weird thing. I remember when I first bought a house, and I know this is, for the people who can't afford houses, they're probably like, are you kidding right now? But my first house, I was 27? 20? No. I don't know. They told me I could get a loan for $350,000. I made $28,000 a year.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. And I looked at that guy and went, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I got a house for $100,000. So my mortgage was $600, mm-hmm. which I would kill for that now.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't believe. And this is also right around like a few years later is when all that mortgage industry stuff crashed.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably exactly what happened. It's because I've heard stories like that. You're the first person that kind of I knew personally that got offered like that. Yeah, it's like it's the people always say, you know, spend a little bit more for quality for your stuff lasts longer. You got to have the money to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you know, $1,000 lawnmower lasts longer than a $300 lawnmower. Who got a grand to drop on a lawnmower? It's like, I need a lawnmower now. I'm going to get what I get. And of course, it costs more in the long run. But most things cost more in the long run for poor people because that's why they're poor. It's like they can't afford to wait. Like that's the biggest thing with like this, you know, before we get into DC stuff, is like, you know, about a lot of things. Patience is a superpower, but most people can't afford to have patience. Like people can't, you know, I'm gonna save for 6 months to get something I really want. It's easy. Yeah, that's easier said than done. Yep. If you can do that, it's great. But if you can, like, if you need it done now, you gotta get what you get now. And it's like, you know, 3 years from now, I'll worry about 3 years from now. And you're always doing that. But it's like, you know, yeah, $2,500 refrigerator is nice. Who got $2,500? Who got the credit to get, you know, you put it on a credit card and your $800 refrigerator, you end up paying $1,600. And it's like, I could have got a $1,600 refrigerator. I don't got $1,600 to get a refrigerator right now. And I need a refrigerator. I need to get this cheap lawnmower. I need to pay this bill now. I need to do this. And you're always playing catch up. Like, and it's that's the thing, you playing catch up and one day you wake up and you're like in your 40s and 50s.
Yep.
And you're still doing the same thing you were doing in your 20s and 30s, and you're just more tired and old. And you're, I don't want people to like hear this and get depressed, because I'm thinking, you know, like it's, I just say, if you can afford to be patient, but if you can't, don't let anybody shame you into not being able to be patient, because life is like that sometimes.
Yeah. And one also a helpful hint. If they give you credit, go ahead and get whatever you want, because they can't take it back. So if you buy everything you need and you already have like a car and you already have a house, what are they going to do? You don't pay the bills. Pretty simple. Trust me, that works. So, speaking of paying the bills, the DC...
Jeremy Manafort with his financial advice.
Yep. When I was going through my divorce, I couldn't afford to pay any of my credit cards. And yes, they were obnoxious. And yes, it was all my fault. But once you stop paying them, they call you all the time. All right, cool. You answer the phone and go, I can't pay you. Well, can you pay this much? I just said I can't pay you. So
what you going to do?
They will keep calling. Eventually, they will send you settlement notices. Yes, depending on your amounts, they may be outrageous. But if you have the good fortune of having dead relatives and they left you money, you can pay all these settlements off. So there's that too.
Or the best thing is you just ignore the settlements and just wait it out 7 years.
Yeah. And, well, that's what everyone kept telling me is that, well, if you take a settlement, then your credit's going to be screwed up for at least 7 years. And I went, so? I own a house. I own a car. And then, of course, I moved to Charlotte, but it didn't. That's a lie, by the way. Yeah, I had no problem.
Yeah, credit is only – credit works if you want to buy big stuff. Once you buy the big stuff, who cares? Like, that's the sneaky thing about credit. Like, you need a good credit score for, like, a few items. Mm-hmm. Once you have those items, the credit score is irrelevant. Like, money will always be credit. It's like, oh, well, your credit be knocked for, like, 4 years. I don't care. Like, I don't need a credit card to buy jeans. I can go there and, like, whatever. Like, okay, I'll see you in 7 years. Cash, like, you know, cash still works.
Yeah. And the other thing that... Oh, boy. The other thing, never underestimate the greed of banks. I actually had, after these settlements, the same banks that I didn't pay for nearly a year and then settled for 20% of what I owed them were sending me applications. Oh, and I'm sorry, not applications, but they were sending me pre-approved credit card offers. And I went, I just took you guys for thousands of dollars with no remorse whatsoever, and now you're offering to do it again?
Hey, you know, let bygones be bygones.
Absolutely. I was like, yep, I signed right back up. Like, idiots.
I mean, and people want, I swear, like,
hey, they offered. That's their fault. So,
yeah, speaking of their fault,
it's going. Life advice
DC.
Is over again.
Yeah, seeking it for DC. Do you want to talk about the? I haven't signed up for the universe yet. Do you want to talk about the universe stuff or the movie stuff?
Well, really, the universe just came online yesterday, and I played around with it a tad. It's obviously, I get the feeling it's going to be like the WWE Network, where it's going to be small at first, and then they're going to just keep adding. Like that Titan show isn't available yet.
I don't get that. Like,
I don't either.
If you know, because it's kind of like you need something big to sell it. I think like WWE Network, like their first thing was you get to see pay per views on it. Yep. So you didn't need a whole bunch of stuff at the beginning because it's kind of like, oh, I can get pay per views. I don't got to drop $50 anymore. I'm straight. Mm-hmm. You got DC. I'm like, you can only watch Batman the animated series so many times.
You get all of those animated series: Justice League, Superman, Batman Beyond, Young Justice is on there. All of their animated movies are on there. All of them.
Okay.
The thing that I noticed what they're doing is you can get comics. You can read the comics, and I didn't delve too far into it with that yet. But what I've noticed they're doing is they're promoting Doom Patrol, Teen Titans comics. Like, this is a really essential Nightwing issue. This is Robot Man in Doom Patrol. This, and like, they're doing that, priming you up for when these series are available. And I thought, all right, if you're not going to have the series up yet, then that's a good idea. But I haven't gotten in there to see if you can get any new comics, which to me, I mean, I did sell my collection, but it's like I've got the collected editions of stuff I really wanted. So new comics would be the draw.
But yeah, I'm thinking like for somebody like me, like I'm a DC fan, but I'm not a hardcore DC fan. It's kind of like I would watch that. Like I will get it anyway. I'll probably get signed up for it when the show is over. But it's like normally they have like something new. Like I would think if you know the Titan show wasn't ready yet, just wait till the show's ready, and then like what's. I don't understand what's the rush of opening it when you don't have that show ready. Like, I don't. Would a month really make a difference? Are they trying to beat? Are they trying to like beat the time frame for TV shows coming back?
Oh, I thought it was maybe trying to beat Disney before theirs.
I mean, but Disney. I mean, you can wait them because they saying what time's gonna come out like October. You can wait them. Then wait a month. Like Disney ain't no like. Disney will be there anyway, and it's like when Disney's there, Disney will be there, and I doubt they're gonna like half-ass it themselves either. Like they can afford to take their time. I mean, I'm gonna get it and I'll check it out. I always thought that was weird because that was a show they've been hyping the hell out of for better or for worse, and now you had this network, and that'd be your first question. Oh, where's that? Well, ain't ready yet. You can watch Batman Beyond though. It's like. If I'm paying this amount of money for this show, it's a good chance I already seen Batman Beyond, so I'm gonna need a little bit. I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, what is it, like $8 a month, $9 a month?
Yeah, it's like Netflix price.
Yeah, so it's like I pay $15 for my Netflix, so I always laugh at Netflix price. So I just noticed that one time. I'm like, wait, I remember I used to get Netflix for $8, and it's like, oh, you can upgrade to HD, you can upgrade to Netflix Max, and get on 4 screens. I'm like, eh, no big thing. And then one day you know, it's like, wait a second, I'm spending $15 a month for Netflix.
Yeah.
And you know, you remember when people used to say, you know, you can unplug from cable and all the money you save from streaming stuff like that. Yeah. I have Netflix, Hulu, WWE Network. And just those three are $15, $25, almost $40 a month. I might even count my Amazon Prime. Oh, and I have Crunchyroll for anime stuff. That's another $8. Yeah, you got, and then you talking about DC's gonna have something, Disney's gonna have something, FX. I can't believe the arrogance they have where it's like, oh, I know you like watching our stuff on TV, but if you wanna watch it without commercials, you can do FX Plus. Huh?
I got a DVR.
Like, yeah, like, are you kidding me? I gotta pay extra money into. I'm already paying you from cable, and I gotta pay extra money just so I don't have to watch commercials. Like, what? Even Starz doesn't do that crap. Like, Amanda Starz, like, you know, you can watch our shows, but if you want to pay extra with Starz Plus. You can watch a longer episode. Like, FX, you got some balls. I see that, and I'm like, yeah, y'all, no. No thanks.
Yeah, because... What the fuck was that? Sorry. I heard a boom. Not boom, but like a thud. So I'm like, huh?
All right, anyways. It's not a tree.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I said. All right, oh. It actually blew my trash can forward?
Did you not? Didn't people say, like, don't have. It's all, you know, people don't think a trash can is a big deal in the wind. I'm like, those things could be a bomb going through your window. Like, put your trash cans up. You don't listen to the news, Jeremy?
Well, no. It's in a spot where the wind shouldn't be getting it. Wow, that's crazy. Both of them moved. All right, well, at least I know what I got to do when we're done. All right, so. Breaking news, wind sucks. All right. We decide to watch American Horror Story for whatever reason, and it's the same thing where the first episode's intriguing enough to make you watch, and then you just go, this show sucks by the end. But they were advertising that, and I'm going, is it... Wait, just no commercials? Or is there extra stuff? Or
yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Literally no commercials. I'm going... Why would I pay for, like, why, honestly, why would you pay for that? That makes no sense to me at all. And you also forgot ESPN's got their own streaming service right now. I think it's only $5, though.
Yeah, it's like, I got cable, and I was like, I'd rather just pay cable. Because basically, when you have a cable prescription, you get most of that stuff, the streaming stuff, for free anyway, because it's part of your cable subscription. So, I'm going to pay FX extra. Like, I can just... I don't even watch that many stuff live because of my work schedule. Like, I was watching Mayans, and they kept, oh, you want to watch this without commercials? No, your commercials ain't that long. And your show's already obnoxiously long anyway. Like, I know FX does, like, I don't know when that became a thing, but some of the shows, the episodes being like an hour and 18 minutes is like, like, that's what Netflix is for. Like, I don't need no long, like, I don't need these long ass episodes. And like, a lot of times it's long, you know, it's a 5 minute commercial break.
And what cracks me up is, like you said, that's like an hour 18, some of the episodes. Like, American Horror Story this week was 53 minutes. And I'm like, did you forget the format? Like, how can you end the show 7 minutes early? But then I know, like, further on down the line, it's going to be like an hour and 22 minutes.
Yeah, like, and Atlanta used to be like that, where some episodes was like 55 minutes. Some one was like 39. I'm like, what is this, Vice TV? Like, y'all just ended when y'all, what happened to a show started 9, end at 10? It's like, no, the show started 9, end at 10:24. Like, it's not even a round number. Like, what are y'all doing?
Remember those old annoying TBS days where a show would start at 7:05 and end at 7:35?
Yes,
like, for no reason.
Or now sometimes it's like 7:02. Like, really? It's TNT. You couldn't move Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, you moved it up 3 minutes. Like, why are you doing? Like, I don't understand the logic of why they're doing that. I also, but can't understand the logic of a lot of things. And we talked about the TV thing. I was talking about the movie. Okay. People have been wondering the whole thing about why DC's doing what they're doing. They can't believe it. You know, I'm not surprised. And I can't believe it took me that long to put the correlation together. We're both wrestling fans. We both watch WCW. That's all Warner Brothers is when it comes to DC movies. WCW with more money.
Okay. I'll let you go on this one. How so?
Because this whole thing with Henry Cavill went from, you know, he was going to have a cameo Shazam as Superman, so he's not going to be Superman anymore because they're going to change, and just, we're going to be around Supergirl, we're going to change the age range, and it may be years before we do this, and Henry Cavill's cracking jokes about it, and they're like, well, we haven't made a decision, and then somebody else say, you know, we might have Michael B. Jordan be Superman, but we don't know, and it's kind of like, you got Superman and Batman, and you can't, like, what do you do? It's like, you would think it's simple, but the problem is quality control at jobs is so important, yet people don't pay attention to how important it is till you don't do it right. That's the biggest difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel has quality control, and DC just goes where the wind blows them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And the Henry Cavill stuff makes no sense to me. Okay, so they couldn't come out to terms for a cameo, which, you know, would be after the credits. You know, or maybe him on the TV or something like that. It's not going to be a big thing. But then if I'm him, like, my star's kind of going up now.
Yeah. So, and like, he's about to do that. He's about to do that Netflix Witcher show.
Yeah, and
so
nothing to sneeze at. I mean, Netflix shows are nothing to sneeze at. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds weird, like, I'm doing a Netflix show. Well, that sounds like cashola to me. So, yeah. But, like, he was in Mission Impossible. And, spoiler, even though he's the bad guy, he still had pretty impressive. I mean, just the hulking mass. But you can't, and this is where I'm going to kind of turn around, you can't have a DC universe without Superman. So, I know he can be around, whatever, but they've... And now, creatively, they've messed up so poorly. Financially, they're making money off these movies. Not as much as they probably should be, but they're still making money. So, creatively, like, we were, like, real brief, because I didn't want to talk about it on Messenger, because I wanted this to be fresh for this. I'm with you. Hitch your wagon to Wonder Woman. And you can still keep, putting air quotes around this, to the source material, if you will. And have your universe, but there's nothing wrong with it being around her, because Affleck sounds like he's out. Now, the Cavill stuff I'm confused by. It doesn't seem like he thinks he's out.
Yeah, so no, it's kind of like they're saying where it's just so many voices in the wind. It's like they're talking about a different direction. They don't know. He doesn't know. And that would never happen with Marvel.
No, absolutely not.
Like, ever. And it's kind of like, how did you have a universe where you had Ben Affleck coming off The Town and Argo, a Academy Award-winning Ben Affleck, you get him to be Batman, and you mess that up? Like, how did that happen? How did you have Superman, and you mess that up? Like, you know, you got Christopher Nolan being the guy. And you know, this goes down, they picked the wrong director. They picked Zack Snyder to run that, and that was the bad move. And they've been playing catch-up ever since. And they can't stay true to their principles. It's like they'll do something, somehow they'll put a trailer on there, somehow on Twitter will say they don't like it, and instead of saying, you know, we're gonna stick to our principles, it's like, oh, well, we gotta change this, we gotta add this, we gotta do this, we gotta do that, and this is a mess. And that's how Suicide Squad ended up being two different movies, and that's how Justice League is two different movies. And it says a lot that the one movie that worked was Wonder Woman, because for the most part, beside like the last 20-30 minutes, it's Patty Jenkins doing what she wants to do. And it says a whole lot more to everything about this Wonder Woman 1984 movie. It's like, she doing what she want. Yep. She like, kiss my ass. It's in the 80s. I don't care what story Justice League and Batman vs. Superman told. I'm telling my story. I'm doing my way. My movie worked, so you can't tell me shit.
Yep.
And everything from Shazam is kind of like, we doing the things our way. And Aquaman's the same way. It's like, I know you want to say you can't have a DC universe without Superman, but I always laugh. It's like, how is it that DC did a whole TV universe starting off of Oliver Queen couldn't keep in his pants? And basically, he, you know, that turned into like what we have now. It's about to be six shows. But these Warner Bros., with all their movie money and all the talent, they can write a check and get whoever they want, director-wise and actor-wise. And we're still talking about this stuff where, well, we don't know what we're going to do with Superman and Batman. It's Superman and Batman. Mm-hmm. How Ant-Man and the Wasp made more than Justice League. How did that happen? That's insane. Like, if somebody would have told you that would have happened, you would have laughed your ass off, no matter how successful Marvel was. Like, that's just insane. And that's what it comes down to, quality control. They do not have it, and they still don't. It's kind of like sometimes you feel like they know what they're doing when you see a trailer. When you see the Shazam's trailer and the Aquaman trailer, it's like, okay, they got stuff going on. But then you remember, oh, yeah, they're doing a Joker origin story that's separate from everything else. And then you have no idea what's going on. Are they doing Suicide Squad 2? Or I guess that was postponed because Will Smith was like, you know, he's going to go ahead and do the sequel to Bright and the sequel to Bad Boys, because Suicide Squad 2, they can't figure out what they're doing with that. I don't know how many Harley Quinn movies are coming out. It's like, this, it's a mess.
Oh, I didn't know Suicide Squad got put on hold.
Yeah, because it's kind of like they couldn't. Because remember, the first it was like, you know, we got to find a director, and then it was like figure out who's going to be the villain, because I think it was going to be like they wanted Black Adam to be the villain, but first we got to find a director. And then it's like, well, what are we going to do with Margot Robbie, because she might be doing all this other stuff she's doing with Birds of Prey. It's like, oh, Will Smith's busy. Like, he like, when y'all figure out I can go make Bad Boys 3. And you know, for whatever people say about Bright, a lot of people watched that movie.
A lot of people liked it too.
And a lot of people liked it. So I can see why they run it back. So yeah, it's like these. Somebody made a good joke talking about The Rock outlasted both Batman and Superman, and he hasn't been in a movie yet in DC.
I just had this thought, actually. Remember, alright, so Suicide Squad 2, they're looking for directors. And like, just why not just have David Ayer do it again? And leave him alone this time. I know. They left him alone the first time. Wink, wink. And let him do his thing. Suicide Squad's not supposed to be Guardians of the Galaxy anyways. Which is obviously what they were going for. Or they went back and tried to change it to. But the thought I just had was, and we'd mentioned directors in the past for it, and neither one of us said this. We both forget Will Smith is Deadshot in this universe. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about having Mel Gibson direct the movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was the first.
Mel Gibson is going to direct Will Smith after all the shit this guy's pulled? And actually, unapologetically, as far as I can tell, that dude's never apologized for any of this stuff.
He sure didn't. You know how he apologized? He made Hacksaw Ridge, got nominated for like 4 or 5 Oscars, and it's like, oh, I guess we can work with Mel Gibson again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It's like people forgot, like, Mel Gibson went from this big superstar to he was on, you know, DVD movies because nobody would touch him. Then it's like, you know, he shows up in Machete 2. He shows up in Expendables 3. Oh, he's directing again. Oh, he's pretty good. I guess, you know, let bygones be bygones. And he was kind of like, he didn't talk about it. He didn't do anything. He just went ahead. And he's like, if I make stuff they, because he's smart. You know what? If I make stuff they like, Hollywood's so damn craven and spineless anyway, nobody will say shit.
Yep. Yeah, and that's, that just occurred to me. Like, and I know Will Smith, and his star doesn't shine as bright as it used to. And that, star that, still that shines. Happens. Yeah. Yes. So you think, does anyone think Mel Gibson's going to go up to Will Smith and be like, all right, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Will Smith's going to look him up and down and be like, who the fuck are you? Doing, like, no.
Like, I'm not doing shit.
Yeah.
Like at my, like, one, I was a bigger star than you ever was. Two, I'm still a bigger star than what you are now. It's kind of like, you know, people like, Will Smith's not the whole 90s, 2000 Will Smith. He's still Will Smith. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's like, oh, he's slouchy. He's basically at the point where I can do whatever I want. Point of like his career, like, you know, if I want to show up, you know, because I'm sure he made quite a big chunk of change for doing that silly Bright movie.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the fact that they're running it back is like, I'm sure Amazon got deep pockets. It's the reason why Adam Sandler went to Amazon's making all this money and putting out all these movies that apparently people are still watching. It's a reason.
Wait a minute, you mean Netflix?
Netflix. All right. That's what I mean. Well, they both do, but like, Netflix has oodles of money. They just throwing money. Like, think about it. Dave Chappelle getting $40, $50 million for like 3 shows. Chris Rock, $50 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, cut me a check. Like, all these showrunners, like Shonda Rhimes left. She went to Netflix. The guy that did Blackish, he left. It's like, oh, yeah. Think about it. I'm leaving ABC, and they get like 9-figure deals. Yeah, Will Smith ain't doing nothing Mel Gibson telling him to do unless he's in a real magnanimous mood, and I doubt he'd be in that type of, like, he has no reason to be in that mood. But that just speaks to what Warner Brothers is doing. Mm-hmm. They can't get out their own way, and they don't have a Kevin Feige, like a real one. And I don't know if they could ever recruit him. I would pay him whatever he wanted. It'd be worth it. Or somebody like, if you can't find somebody like him, get him.
Didn't they try that? Like, that's what I expected Geoff Johns to be.
They wouldn't know. They need somebody that's kind of nothing. Like, yeah, because it's kind of like, you know, it's hard as you're an outsider, like you coming from an outside view. Like, because it's not like Neil Gaiman with like American Gods, where it's like they give them power because it's this thing running a whole universe in the movie thing. They aren't going to trust a comic or book guy like that because it's a separate thing. Kevin Feige, like, that name is like, okay, he knows what he's doing. Marvel can put out basically whatever they want, and at the very worst, it's going to make a profit. It's almost like they're bulletproof. I doubt he'd leave, because especially now, it's like, I got basically all the Marvel, like, you know, I got the X-Men, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four. I ain't doing whatever I want. But if I was a Warner Brother, I would offer him, I would just ask him, how much would it take? $1 billion? I'd give you $1 billion. You can make that back with one good movie.
One good Wonder Woman movie for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, because people think about, oh, you know, such and such, they spent all that money on, like, Star Wars. I'm like, They made all that back and tenfold with The Force Awakens. Like, everything from here on out is prop. Not even talking about, like, toys and merchandise. It's kind of like, you think long term. Like, such a stuff like that's chump change, but you know it's worth it. And that's their problem. They can't figure out what works, and they still can't figure out a plan. And it's simple. focus on making good movies first and worry about the universe stuff later.
Yeah.
That's, you know, because you can always do the universe stuff later. You can always do it. Like, because if you have a good Wonder, if you have Wonder Woman that people are excited about, if Aquaman is good and Shazam is good, you can build on that and just focus. You know, they still haven't even figured out what they're going to do with the Flash,
which is criminal.
Yeah, like
that's, and I always say Flashpoint because it's just the easiest thing to reset everything if they wanted. But it's just, it's such, this isn't hard. And the reason I laughed when you were talking is when you said just make good movies, because DC has come out and said they're changing their focus into making quality films first. And we've talked about it before, but this isn't rehash. Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing in the first place?
And because nope.
The financially, people, like I said earlier, financially, these movies make money. But creatively, I still like Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
Justice League's pretty good when you're drinking. Wonder Woman's just good, period. So,
you know, the problem is, it's not necessarily, because it's been too many cases where bad movies have made a lot of money and good movies have not been noticed. So yeah. It's kind of like, we just make a franchise, people come and see it. And we've talked about before, people learn the wrong lessons from two movie things. They learned the wrong lessons from Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, and they learned the wrong lessons from Marvel's movies. Like, Batman, they assume everything gotta be gritty. And Marvel's like, everything has to be a universe. It's like, no. It fits for Marvel because it's the Avengers. They're a team anyway. Like, yeah, Iron Man, Thor, think about it. You had Iron Man, you had the Hulk, you had Thor, you had Captain America. What do they all have in common? They're Avengers.
They're white. Oh, sorry.
Yes, that also works. But that's going to be 99% anyway. It's like, yes, being a white man named Chris will get you places. But no, it's like, yeah, you can build up to the Avengers because they're all Avengers.
Yeah.
So it naturally fit. And you would think the same thing with, like, you got Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. You can have Justice League. They cheated. They was like, we had Superman, and then we're going to just throw in Batman, throw in Wonder Woman, throw in The Flash and Aquaman and Cyborg, give you no explanations about any of them, and then we're just going to build a thing. It's like, imagine if you went from Iron Man 1 to The Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like you didn't have Iron Man 2, because even all of them, like, you know, Iron Man 2, Black Widow's introduced. You know, Iron Man 2, Nick, you see more Nick Fury. Then Captain America has this. Thor has this. You have Loki there. So by the time Avengers come, you know the secret thing about Avengers? There's no new characters. Major characters. You see all of them by the time Avengers come, because you saw Hawkeye a little bit in Thor. You saw Black Widow in Iron Man 2. You seen Nick Fury. You saw all the original Avengers, and you saw Loki and Thor, so you don't have to bring up a new villain. You don't have to build up, like, you can fill in the gaps. So, like, you know all these people by the time the movie starts. Imagine you went from watching Man of Steel, and then you went to Batman versus Superman. It's not Christopher Nolan's Batman. You have no idea. Oh, I remember we talked about, like, people were surprised when Wonder Woman showed up, because if you never saw a trailer, you had no idea she was in the movie. It was like, wait, they got Wonder Woman 2? Wait, who's this Flash dude on a computer with his logo, and why is Bruce Wayne having a dream about him talking about, listen to Lois, she was right? Like, what is this dream of the parrot? Like, parrot, we talked about the parademons, and you see, wait, why is Khal Drogo underwater? He's Aquaman. Who's Aquaman? And it's like, you just like, huh? Like, if you're a casual fan, you're like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, huh? And it's not like a Star Wars thing where you just drop them in a universe and you build around a thing. It's no. You drop them in a universe and you got all these new people that they assume you know. And they don't build up any of them for you to know them. And it's like, okay, I remember Batman. Wait, why is Batman killing everybody? Why does Batman sound like, you know, George Bush? If there's a 1% chance he's a villain, we gotta murder him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny because despite all that, I still like that one. And the Blu-ray edition is so much better with like the small tweaks that were made. And that's why I don't disagree with anything you said about Justice League and that. I still would like to know, I would still like to see what Zack Snyder was doing. Because I know a lot of people don't like his stuff, and that, you know, Man of Steel was what it was, Batman Superman was what it was, but there, from all reading everything, it sounds like he had rectified a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that was going to set in motion the rest of this. And then with, and this is speculation, and it's rude speculation, do you really think he stopped working on that movie because of that suicide in his family? After all this?
I mean, yeah, like,
I don't know, because it just seems like the perfect opportunity to say, hey, this is a good cover for us firing you.
I mean, people have stepped back from, you know, yeah, like, they almost canceled Fast and Furious 7 with Paul Walker dying.
Well, yes, but he, all right, and again, this is rude talk, but he was part of the cast. The person, I don't remember who it was in his life, I don't know if it was a niece, or was it a stepson, or something, I think it was a niece, that she committed suicide, unfortunately. And, all right, so he took off, and he was supposed to come back, but never did. And the timing of it was strange, because that's when Josh Whedon was no longer with Marvel, and they gobbled him up, and a significant change was made, and it's like, did they just tell him, don't come back? Because this is Hollywood, mind you.
I mean, it's
they,
kind
they don't
of
give
like
a shit about your well-being.
Yeah,
obviously.
But it's kind of, I think, like a mutual thing where it wasn't probably the only factor, but a combination of factors. I mean, I know people say, well, that's a nice excuse. A death is still a death, and it's like, yeah, you already dealing with this other stuff anyway, and then this happened. You really want to be dealing with all of this at the time? Like, no, take a step back. My biggest issue is not like, you know, Zack Snyder's a polarizing thing. He has his pluses and minuses. I just think they made the wrong choice picking him in the first place. I know Nolan didn't want to do it because he went stuck in. I would have bribed Nolan. I would have just gave him whatever. Nolan could have been there, Kevin Feige. I would have just gave him whatever he wanted because Batman worked. Mm-hmm. Dark Knight is probably the best 101A, best comic we ever made. And that movie and Dark Knight Rises made $1 billion back when making $1 billion in a movie was a big ass deal. Give him what he wants. If they had just did that, use the Christian Bale Batman, if they wanted to do that, so you don't have to worry about, then you'll have to build up Batman because you got Batman and everybody knows him. And they've been a lot better. They could have solved a lot of those problems, you know, if they had went that route. But for whatever reason, it's like, you know, we feel like Josh is the vision. And, you know, the joke always, you know, I want to wrap up with something different. You know, the joke I always make about Man of Steel and why people don't like Superman? Because he's not the Superman, I'm going to steal a line from The Dark Knight. He's not the Superman that people likes. He's the Superman that we would really have gotten in real life. Because I tell people all the time, imagine somebody growing up on a farm in Kansas in our modern day America. Think about how he would have really turned out. Think about what you know about Kansas and the Midwest and that mentality and the stuff that's going on now in America. Would it really be surprising, you know, Kevin Costner talking about, yeah, let them kids die? Because I know people talking about, you know, he let his, you know, he was going to say, oh, should I let the kids die when they was on the bus? Yeah. When Kevin Costner, like, don't save me, let the hurricane get me, like, I don't, Superman want to do that. You don't think modern-day American Superman from the Midwest wouldn't be an All Lives Matter superhero? Like, I know people don't want to kind of like not think about that, but just think about what we are going through now, and then imagine Superman growing up in Kansas. How do you think he'd turn out?
See, all right, I get what you're saying, but that's the whole point of him, is that he is better than that, and he is like the shining ray. It's just all hyperbole, but Superman is like the standard. He's like, he is the beacon of light in darkness. You know, that's why everyone looks up to him. So it's like, and I get what you're saying, and that's where you're right.
That's
Snyder being the wrong guy for it.
That's what we want. That's what Superman represents, the beacon of how we should be.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to see. But more than likely, Superman would not turn out like that, which is kind of like a blessing curse. Like, you know, that Superman's more real, because some are, oh, he's destroying all those buildings. He doesn't care about civilians. Why would a farm boy? You hear how Midwest some old East Coast bias, and we live in a bubble. You think he'd give a rat's ass about that? Like if he was raised by those parents. Like that's the problem. It was a Superman. Like no one wants to see that type of Superman because like he's a right wing asshole. I mean, no one wants to see that. You can see Batman doing that, and you can kind of accept that because Batman's always been gritty and insane. But no one wants to see a gritty, you know, because like then he's not Superman; he's just a bully.
Yeah, and see, I guess this might have been the long game, but that's part of like I didn't like the end of Man of Steel because it was just nonstop destruction, and I'm like, oh my god. Going forward, that actually got rectified. Like, and
yeah,
he became better. Like, they kind of did that in Justice League, where it's like, we have to get the people out of here first. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a whole scene that got cut out to where he's like, yeah, I was really bad at this, or I messed up, whatever, you know. And it's time to be of people. So we didn't get any of that, and we're never going to see that movie. I can't imagine Warner Brothers would. Never mind. They could shoot themselves by doing that.
Because never say never. Out,
yeah, and I'll watch it. I mean, I bought Justice League because I'm a moron.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Justice League is fine. The issue with Justice League is all the noise surrounding. It's the same thing with Solo problem. It was all the stuff surrounding this. By the time the movie came out, it didn't matter. Like, people already had their mind made up. Like,
yeah.
If you compare Batman versus Superman, Suicide Squad, and Justice League, Justice League is better than both of them by like a mile, yet it made the least amount of money because like by the time it came out, it didn't matter.
Yep.
Like that was the point. That was the problem. Like it didn't make a difference. Like and that's the consequence of knowing all this outside stuff with like, you know, casting issues and rescheduling. And that movie would have made money if they didn't have to basically redo the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you got to. Like, their budget wasn't, like, we looked it up, their budget was insane.
Yeah.
So, it was basically kind of like, it was no way it was going to succeed, no matter how good a movie it was. I'm sure we're like, you know, in time, 10 years from now, you know, people look brightly on it. Hold on.
Yeah. On the show.
Okay. Yeah, it's like one of those things where history kind of will look better. And that seemed to happen a lot. Like, you know, stuff that comes out when it first comes out is not recognized or people laugh at it and make fun of it. And then later on, it's like, this is great. Like, I won't get too much into it. Like, because I laugh like Predator and people talk about now, like, you know, oh, I don't know about this from Predator. I'm like, and we talk about none of the Predator movies were like when they first came out. None of them. Even the first one that's a classic now, it wasn't deemed no classic when it first came out. People thought it was dumb. Like, I looked at some of the old reviews and critic scores like that. People thought it was a silly-ass movie. And then it's like, I guess a couple years go by and people pay more attention to it. And then now it's kind of like, oh, we had a classic. We didn't even know it. It's like, yeah, you had the best action director of the era with, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
With like a story that like, you know, with an awesome character design, an awesome man. It was like a horror movie in the jungle. Yes. Like, and then you, and now, and people made fun. It's kind of like that movie could come out now. And with the exception of some of the jokes that Jesse Ventura says, you wouldn't have to change a thing. like that says a lot. Like that movie came out in the '80s and that could come out. If it came out tomorrow, it would fit right in.
Yeah, because, well, outside of maybe a little tweak in technology, it's a timeless movie. You don't really know when it takes place. Because they're all out there, like, haircuts aren't an issue.
Yeah.
The technology of being able to just call in another helicopter or something like that, I guess. But
even then, it's kind of like, you know, it's a radio that's, with you know, encrypted.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so it'd just be it just have, like, a satellite dish.
Yeah.
You know, it's a unnamed Central American country. You could do that. Like, I guess the only thing, I mean, change it from spies to drugs. Beyond that, it's like, you wouldn't have to change anything. But it's just funny when it comes and it's kind of like, you know, maybe, because even now, Marvel gets the advantage of the benefit of the doubt. People look at, like, you know, Marvel's office and says, oh, like, no. I always make the joke, Marvel looks real rough from like Iron Man to the Avengers. And then even after the Avengers, it looks kind of rough up until, I want to say Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians like, really changed stuff.
Yeah, like Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy. And like then it's kind of like it start, then next thing you know, you just notice like Marvel hasn't really made a bad movie like around that time since then. Because, you know, because then you had that. And then you think about it, you had Doctor Strange, which was all, which was good, underrated. And then you get Spider-Man, Thor, Black Panther, and Infinity War. Like back to back to back to back. Like, you know, so you have like the best Thor movie, an awesome Spider-Man movie that both made almost $900 million. Black Panther, which made more domestic than the Infinity War, and Infinity War made $2 billion. So
that's crazy. I didn't know. I stopped paying attention to movies box office after a while. Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, think about it. Infinity War made $2 billion and one of the biggest movies of all time. But Black Panther made more domestic. Just think of, like, that's just amazing that both of those things happened at the same time. Like, you know, and I don't even think Marvel was, you even asked Marvel, they probably, if they were honest with themselves, they like, we didn't think it'd be as good as it would be. Like, we thought it'd be good. We didn't think it'd be that good. And we talked about it on the show. And like, you know, but you have all that, you forget all about like Iron Man 2 and Hulk and, you know, yeah, the Thor 2. And like, it's like, it's a whole bunch of clunkers in there. And it's the same thing. Like, you know, hopefully DC gets to act together. I mean, I still have faith. You want to know why I have faith? Because I want to wrap up with this. Because I saw Iron Fist. And I caught up with it over the weekend. And I'm not lying when I say I am so excited for season 3 of Iron Fist. And I never thought in my life I would ever say that. I'm amazed at how much better season 2 is compared to season 1.
All right, now I obviously haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So I won't without spoilers, is he part of?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because right. One, I won't get into why I would say he can fight now.
Good. All right.
Like, and not just like he can like. He can really like the fight scenes are just so much like he can really fight. The fight scenes are so much better. And another thing is 10 episodes.
Oh, thank God. All right, good.
And 10 is a I'm like, this is so perfect. 10 is a perfect number.
Good.
Like, you know, they tell this, like, the story is real simple. They tell this story, they get in and get out. Like, I think all the complaints they had from season 1, they basically fixed. I guess, like, you know, they just listens, like, oh, what was wrong with it? And it's like Legends. Did the same things like Legends Tomorrow with Iron Fist. And you being a comic fan and what you know about it, I can't wait till you watch like the last, I would say this, when I watched the last episode and like the last 5 minutes, when I say like my jaw dropped, I'm not exaggerating. And keep in mind, I'm not somebody that liked season 1 of Iron Fist at all.
Yeah,
and I always thought the character was stupid. And I was like, I watched this, I'm like, I'm waiting, like, I can't wait to see how they follow this up. And then I'm like, I can't believe I said this about Iron Fist.
Okay, real quick, I forgot, I gotta go. Do I need to see Luke Cage is anything in Luke Cage gonna get ruined if I didn't finish that yet? Because yes, I'm that lazy.
No. Because it's some stuff from Iron Fist that gets in Luke Cage, but you don't have to watch any of Luke Cage to watch Iron Fist, if that makes sense.
All right, cool. Well, good, because I don't know if the winds
have you finished Luke Cage yet?
No, that's why I asked that. The winds have been picking up as we've been doing this show, so hey, maybe these weather people are actually nailing it on the head. Yeah, this sucks. So hopefully, if I don't lose power, we can watch them, because the college football slate is garbage this weekend. So, and there's no pro football. I mean, that hasn't even started yet, right? So, fuck. But I do have to get out of here. I have to go pick up the now on the ground barrels. Great. So, I mean, if that's the worst thing that happens, is my trash can blew over, I'll take it. But thanks for listening, gang. Just look for us, Stunt Granny. We watch stuff on your audio platforms to get your podcasts. And I am out of here.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahidu Dohadi, and don't buy a house if you can't afford it. We are out.